So this is the next point. Now we come to power distance. Power distance index is a term we use. Power distance means what? I am holding power over you, so you think. I am holding power over you, so you think. Why am I holding power? Maybe you think I am moneyed, more money than you. Maybe you think that I've got some more land. Maybe you think I've got more horses with me. Something which you think you do not have and which I have, you start feeling that I am more powerful than you. This is power. One of the definitions. Corporate definition of power, I'll tell you later. So now, between a senior and a subordinate, in some cultures, there is a low power distance between them. What does it mean? It's a psychological comfort I get. It's a psychological comfort I get when I deal with my boss in those cultures. For example, if you're in the US, you can address your boss by the first name, Bill, Bob. In India, we still believe that the boss has to be addressed as Mr. with the surname, Mr. Kulkarni, Mr. Iyer, Mr. Godbole, Mr. So-and-so. We do that. So here we, in some cultures, there's a distance, psychological distance between those in power and those not in power. In some other countries, the psychological distance is less. That's why in IT industry, I've noticed, where I do a lot of training, the people who come from there, from US or Europe, they talk to our senior people with first names. And when our boys go there, they address them by surname, which creates certain amount of dissonance. So they're training themselves. Cultural training tells you how to fit into different cultures. So power distance is a very important aspect in your behavior. It denotes the relation between superior and subordinate. Low power distance societies prefer participative decision making and democratic style of leadership. Low power distance means the Western powers, the Western advanced countries. The distance between Bill Gates and the next in line will be so small that they sit down, they have a lot of give and take, and they have a lot of, you know, mixing and all that. There are no feeling that I am the owner and you are the subordinate, nothing of that sort. That's the way they are. Next comes risk-taking behavior. People in countries with high scores of uncertainty, avoidance, prefer a systematic and methodical way of working. There's something called uncertainty avoidance. India is a country where our uncertainty avoidance index, uncertainty avoidance meaning, I do not know whether the train is going to leave at 12. The timetable says it's 12 noon, but I'm not sure. Uncertainty avoidance. In a place like India, our culture is such that we don't mind it. We don't mind it. Theek hai, if it doesn't come at 12, it will come at 12:15. We'll wait. We are used to uncertainty avoidance. Uncertainty. So our uncertainty avoidance is, we say it's okay. Whereas if you go to a country like Germany, where everything is going but time, when they say 9 a.m. sharp, it has to be 9 a.m. And when you go for meetings with those people, all of you who have been to the meeting, you know how important the time is for them. So they are certain, they want certainty. They don't like something which is ambiguous. So people who would like to have something certain, something sure, they would not like to have uncertainty. They would be very, on the uncertainty avoidance, they'll be very low or high. They will not like uncertainty. So they will like to have uncertainty avoidance as minimum as possible, low. Now, risk taking is a capacity for a person to go into something without having full knowledge about something. Just jump into it, that is foolishness. I have some knowledge, some information. Jumping into it is high risk. I have 50% knowledge. Jumping into it is medium risk. I have 80% knowledge. Jumping into that is low risk. I have all the knowledge. Not jumping into it is again foolish. No knowledge, jumping is foolish. All the knowledge, not jumping is foolish. In between comes varying degrees of risk. High risk, medium risk and low risk. Okay. Then we have what is called as masculinity versus femininity. There are some societies in the world which are masculine in their outlook, which means masculine properties are given a lot of weightage. Masculinity means the dominant values are success. Man and woman both are seen to be successful. They value success. So man also tries to succeed, woman also tries to succeed. Money, material wealth, these are very important in those societies, advanced countries. Individualism and masculinity go hand in hand. Femininity means the caring is important, the quality of life is important in those societies, like the Eastern societies like India. People in high masculine countries are highly competitive and strive for economic growth. That's why they are what they are. They are very good in sports because every individual works for himself and he believes that I must win, I must win, I must win. They do it. That's why they get the maximum gold medals. That's why the achievements are high. Not that we are not good, we are good. But this could be one of the reasons why we are pulled down, because our femininity influence is high. Ours is a culture where caring is given more value than individual expression. Is it not a fact? It's changing now, slowly it's changing, but then this is a very important value among us. People in high femininity countries favor friendly work environment and are relationship oriented. Okay, this is the other part of it, that is in the part of the discussion of group similarities and dissimilarities. Next we talk about how do organizations behave. Human behavior within an organization, when it interacts with the structure, organs and groups, is organization behavior. My behavior in an organization which has got its management and structure is what is OB all about, this definition. There are several definitions. I'll talk about other definitions in the other slides as we proceed in the chapters. Various organs of a system include tasks, jobs, roles, materials, machines, services, information. What is human behavior within an organization? When it interacts with structures, organs and groups, it's called as organization behavior. What are these organs? Organs are the various things that I need to do. Tasks, jobs, roles, the materials which I have to use, the machines which I have to use. These are the things that are actually making the methods happen. And this particular organs, these organs, they are a part of the structure and the organization. Both of them have to be properly handled. To do that properly, we are learning OB. Organization is a process of combining and interrelating the various organs and building relations among themselves based on a purpose. I'm not elaborating this, I'm going further. Now we come to historical development of organization behavior. Historical development of organization behavior. This is actually a part of one of the chapters which you'll be learning in Principles of Management, which is called a Development of Management Thought. Okay? So, when we talk about management as a scientific process, it went through some transition from way back in 1920s till what it is today. All that is explained in that particular book, in that particular chapter. A part of it has to be taken here for the purpose of introducing OB. So, first it talks about scientific management. F.W. Taylor, Frederick Winslow Taylor, he is called as a father of scientific management. He made a systematic study and enumerated the principles of scientific management. And these principles include time and motion study, differential payment, group harmony, cooperation between management and workers, employee selection and training, separation of planning and execution. I'm not elaborating them because I wanted to understand this is only the kickstart of what is going to be OB in the future. All this will be explained in that particular subject called Principles of Management when you study. So, time and motion study, differential payment, group harmony, cooperation between management and workers, employee selection and training, separation of planning and execution, all this is an outcome of the study done by F.W. Taylor in organizations. Today we have got a systematic way of working, we have got a planning department, we have got a staffing department, all these things are there today. All this was not there ages ago, pre-1920s, pre-1900s. Then something happened and the changes took place and this is how we have got into a structured form of scientific management today. I am not entering into that because that's a separate subject altogether. So I am taking what is relevant to OB right now. The second milestone which is relevant to the OB discussion is Hawthorne experiments. This is very interesting. One of the contributors to modern scientific management is a gentleman by name Elton Mayo. He conducted a series of experiments at the Hawthorne plant by altering many variables. He evolves the human relationship approach which contributed the following things. Let me explain. There was Elton Mayo. He had his team of people who did a research, a study in a plant called as Western Electric Company in the city of Chicago in US. The plant was manufacturing bulbs, light bulbs, filament bulbs. And he studied a section of people, girls who were assembling the bulbs manually. He felt that this place does not have proper lighting. It was not those days, very few people, very few companies looked at the human resource as a resource. The person was seen only as a contributor to production. Nothing against people. It is just that the focus was on more production and more production. So the focus was more on that. The environment was not given much of weightage, much of focus. But in every era, every age of life, there are always people who think forward, who are people who think like visionaries. So Elton Mayo was one such person who felt that these girls who are assembling the bulbs, they are working under poor conditions. Lighting is not okay. And they need to have certain varying degrees of break times and other things. So he made some experiments. Number of experiments he conducted. And from the experiments he derived that yes, the lighting conditions when they improve, the efficiency of the girls improve and the output comes out of its own. And most importantly, that's where our OB comes. They feel motivated. When the lighting conditions improve, the efficiency of the girls improves, the productivity or the production also improves. The focus was the productivity. But the outcome was what? Productivity is improving and something magical is happening. People feel like working. They feel like working for more time. Not for the money alone, but they feel nice inside. The awakening of OB, the first time OB was felt. It was not called OB that time. It was not called OB. But that's the first thing. First time somebody validated. Somebody said, yes, the person, his feelings, his status quo within the environment matters. So let us do something about the environment. Somebody started thinking in that direction. So informal organizations prefer democratic style of supervision over task-centered leadership. Now what happened in Hawthorne experiment? Eventually, there were many other researchers who came later, whom you will be studying in principles of management subject. They started moving slowly towards OB. So every other researcher started taking not only productivity or production as a focus, but they also took the man as a focus, the person as a focus, his feelings, his psychology, his behavior. They started slowly becoming a part of study. That's how OB was born. That's how OB was born. So people should be taught management skills along with technical skills is what he felt. When he said management skills means, it's not about doing the work alone like a robo, but doing it like a human being with feelings, with emotions, so that I'm able to involve myself. Personal involvement is important. Not that because you're giving me money, I work and I go away. No. All of you will agree that when you involve yourself in something, more comes out. But to involve yourself more into something, I need to give you certain types of, I need to understand you, your behavior, what drives you, what motivates you, I need to understand. Which means, I need to focus on you. I need to focus on you, right? This is what was initiated by Elton Mayo and it carried on with other researchers down the line. Taking it further, the next slide talks about not only work functions but social factors also to be considered in designing an organization. Work functions means I need to do this work, I need to produce this product and bring it out. Work functions. Social factors means when people are working together, they affect each other and they are affected by each other. There are break times, there are this type of food being served, there's a lighting, the sanitary conditions, all those things are the social factors. Those have also to be considered. That's when we started slowly getting into HR, human resources. HR was unheard of once upon a time. They said, look, conditions within the company matters, because when the conditions matter, people will feel like coming and working. When they feel like coming and working with us, they will not leave us and go to the competitor. They will not go to the competitor. They will remain with us. So one of the employee retention strategies is to ensure that people are given more focus. Social conditions are given more focus. Workers' output is determined by group norms and not by time and motion studies. Time and motion study is a very elaborate topic. I am not talking much about it. I'll quickly tell you what it is. It's a part of your principles of management study. Time and motion means I am doing some work. I am delivering this particular lecture. Somebody sets a limit saying that Venkat Iyer, the professor, the faculty has to deliver this lecture within say X number of minutes. Standard. This standard is arrived at by studying number of people who are doing this work. As far as human beings are concerned, we are not robots. Even if you take million people doing the same work and you arrive at a standard, yet there will be the millionth first person who will do it differently. The point that is being put out in this bullet point is, it says that even if you say from the time and motion study that this task has been done in so many minutes, people still don't go by what is told to them by research. They go by what they observe on a day-to-day basis. Is it not true? I'm finding my colleague doing this work in 12 minutes. He's doing it in 7 minutes. He's doing it in at 14 minutes. And you're telling me to do it in 2 minutes? Impossible. So research is not important. Research is not everything. What is actually happening on the ground floor, what is happening on the shop floor is important. And so there is where the group norms start coming into picture. Workers are motivated by financial and non-financial rewards. Today, my dear friends, financial is not as important as non-financial. Pat in the back, a citation, making you feel good for something you've done by giving a get together or a party for you. People are looking for these kindness, these human gestures people are looking for today. See, when life becomes more complex, human gestures conquer the complexity. Remember this. When life becomes more complex, human gestures conquer it. When life is simple, you can afford to control it. But when life becomes complex, and today's world is very complex, global working is complex, social world is also very complex, it is here that the non-financial part of it comes into a very major picture. That's why we use the word called empowerment. Okay. Focus should be on group dynamics and process rather than individual. There's a subject called group dynamics, where we talk about how the interacting forces among people, they matter in the output of the group. How the interacting forces between people, they matter in the output of the group. And if I have a good equation with you today, this equation may not be there tomorrow. That's why it is called as group dynamics. If 5 people are working in a team and they are producing good results today and tomorrow and day after, it need not be that they will produce results next month, because every person, he starts going through his own needs and changes every day. So if the 5 of us are having this internal churning, sooner or later we may not give the same output all the time. Unless there is a leadership, a very strong leadership who understands this part of it and starts managing them well. Otherwise the whole thing is in a big mess. That's why some cricket teams, like if you all of us know about the Australian cricket team, they were consistently the best in the world once upon a time. That's a very good example about group dynamics. And at certain point of time they started crumbling. It happens with every group, because certain needs, certain wants, certain individual desires started changing. Now managing that for a long period of time, the selectors and the people in Australian team were able to manage it. Beyond a point, they couldn't do it. Because group dynamics, you know, ultimately is very, very tricky to handle. But they did the best. See, everybody gives the best in a team, no doubt about it. But the leader has to ensure that the group dynamics is properly understood. It's very important. Okay? Features and disciplines of organization behavior, next point. Human behavior is caused by individuals, groups, and structure of the organization. The study and practice of organization behavior entails the following. Human behavior can be predicted, studied, transformed, and managed. On the first point, I have my own doubts. Human behavior can be more or less predicted, but it can't be. Because human surprises keep coming very often. The more complex the situation, the less predictable is human behavior. The more complex the situation, the less predictable is our human behavior. It can be studied, yes. Transformation, I cannot transform you. I can only create influential conditions around you so that you feel like transforming and you transform yourself. Managing, yes, I can do. Next point, understanding of organization strategies and type of human behavior required to implement them effectively enhances performance. I don't need to explain that, it's self-evident. Organization behavior is a multidisciplinary subject. We are coming to that now. Now these are the various contributory disciplines to the study and practice of human behavior. In the old books of OB, the standard book which we follow for, you know, in most of the B schools is Organization Behavior by Fred Luthans or Stephen Robbins. There are some books. I don't want you to get into all this confusion. I just wanted to share that at one point of time we used to talk about five contributory factors, only five: psychology, sociology, social psychology, anthropology, and political science. These five are the major contributory factors to the human behavior. In the recent times, in the recent books which we have updated here, engineering and technology, management, economics, and medicine is also contributing to the human behavior. So let's try and understand what are these things. Psychology. It studies, predicts, it's about, what is psychology? It's a scientific study about how the human mind works. It studies, predicts, and manages human behavior. The psychological concepts in OB, to understand, see, your behavior is a sum total of all those points which I showed. Your behavior is a sum total of all those points. Part of your behavior is psychology driven. Part of your behavior is sociology driven. Part of your behavior is social psychology driven, and so on and so forth. So your behavior is a sum total of all these things in certain proportions. Psychology studies and predicts and manages human behavior. The relevant psychological concepts to OB include perception, very big topic. How I perceive you, how you perceive my lecture, your perception. Your personality, another important topic in OB, emotions, leadership. One person is a leader in one situation, the same person is a flop in another situation. Psychology, motivation, values, learning, attitudes, selection, job satisfaction, training, risk taking, and communication. These are some points which we'll be elaborating in the future. So I'm leaving it at that right now. Next comes sociology. It deals with the society as a whole. You as a social member. When you are alone with me, you'll be talking in a certain way. But when you're in a group, you may be behaving differently. Notice this about yourself and others. Sociological impact is there on our behavior, as much as psychological impact is also there. So in this, we apply this in the following areas of OB: group dynamics, organization theory, teamwork, organization design, communication, organization change, power and politics, intergroup, conflict and behavior. Social psychology. This is about in a social milieu, in a social surroundings, there'll be one person or a few people who will be influencing the thoughts and actions of the group. In a group, usually there arises one or two people who will be influencing the thoughts and actions of the group members. That is social psychology. Some members in the group will look up to them as role models. since he says that, I'll do it that way. I think he's right. So he is influencing your life itself. Social psychology. It deals with the influence of an individual or on others and vice versa. The contributions of OB include attitude change. If I want to change your attitude, I need to understand what's the social psychology behind your present attitude. Who is making this attitude happen to you? I can keep on explaining, but we need to go through the whole module in other subsequent chapters. So when we come to that, I'll explain. Communication, group process, change management, group interaction and group decision making. Next, we talk about anthropology. It's a study of human beings over long periods of time. The man today is a 21st century. Metrosexual is one of the words we use. And then we had the prehistorics some ages ago. So man has developed from the ape till today. So during the changes, man as a social animal has been behaving in a certain manner as the age progressed. Look at our communication patterns today. Are they not different from what it was 30 years back? If you talk to your parents and you talk to their parents, your grandparents, you'll find that the talk and the value system, everything was different. So anthropology addresses to which group or generation you belong and how that impacts your behavior. Cross culture, comparative values, comparative attitudes, organization culture and organization environment. We use anthropology in doing, I used anthropology in training, leadership training for companies which are very old. Old meaning in that company we have a person who's 55 years old, we have a person who's 35 years old, we have a youngster who's 25 years old. And the company's got an old cultural thinking. So each one of them thinks differently, although they are working towards the same goal. So how to bring about bringing them together is a skill. Okay? Just to give an example. Political science. Political science is a scientific study about how people manipulate people and situations to get certain end results. It's a scientific study of how people manipulate people and situations to get things done. Now the moment I use the word manipulate, everybody will say it's a negative word. Manipulation means I am using you to get things done. And let me tell you one thing, friends, this is the reality about life. Everybody uses everybody to get things done. So if someone says manipulation is bad, manipulation is not bad. Manipulation is bad only when it is used for ulterior purpose, when it doesn't serve the purpose for which it is being done. When you were very young, a small child, your mother manipulated you to have the glass of milk. Yes or no? Right now, I'm manipulating you to listen to me. And you're listening to me, perhaps. Or no, I do not know. Okay? So in a group behavior, everybody manipulates everybody to get things done. Understand that thing. You know, we feel somebody is not manipulating me till the time it benefits me. Till the time it benefits me. If it doesn't benefit me, that's the time we cry foul and say, hey, you're manipulating me. Think about it. Right? It predicts, studies and manages behaviors of individuals and groups in political environment. The contribution to OB includes structuring conflict, allocation of power, political behavior, decision making. There is an area called power in politics, which we also talk about. Those are all covered under, which are controlled by the political science aspect of behavior. Which are controlled by the political science aspect of behavior. Right? Engineering and technology, they influence work design, machinery, working styles, etc. The contribution to OB include perception of the place. Now the place where I'm working, today we've got automated factories. The automated factories may, now there's one big automobile company where I do training, a very big name. Now that company has a plant in Mumbai and it's got plant elsewhere as well. The old plant in Mumbai, the same workers, I used to see them some 25-30 years back before the plant went ultra modern. They same workers had behavior X when the plant was old, work environment. And now the same people have got a different behavior in a ultra modern plant. So the perceptions, the work environment, the communication, all these things get impacted. Okay? Next, management itself. It deals with the supervising people in the activities to contribute to organization goals. The contributions to OB include leadership, motivation, communication, decision making, organization structure, predict behavioral requirements of organization strategies, manage behaviors towards strategic requirements. By management, what are we meaning? We mean the way the organization is using its resources to get things done. Two organizations in the same industry. X has got a management which promotes people to behave proactively and positively. The same industry, another competitor is having its management functions in such a way it does not promote people to act proactively. So there's a toxic energy in that company. So you, your management policies, etc., 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 they affect the behavior of your employees. So check out again whether your vision is okay, your mission is okay, your value statement, your quality statement, are they okay? Check out. Are they pro-employee, at the same time pro-profit? These have to be understood. Next. Economics. It's a study of human behavior as a relationship between end and scarce means which have alternate uses. Demand supply. So, I want something, it's scarce. So to get that something, what do? I have to work towards creating my own efforts towards seeing that my demand is met. So this comes under motivation, decision making, learning, just to name a few of the learnings in behavior. Okay. Medicine. It's an applied sense of treating a disease and has concern for physical and psychological treatment, health of human beings. The contribution is in organization stressors, hypertension, frustration. This is, I would say, it's a little bit of a peripheral thing. It's not very important. But it's there in the book, so I need to discuss it. Medicine means what? See, today we are living in a stressful world. And the impact of most of us are into some treatment or the other. And we go through mood swings because of the work pressure and the way we live. Whether it's a metro cities or whether it's a smaller towns. But everywhere there is a certain amount of, you know, a type of a flutter within people. So people are going through stress. We have a topic on stress management in the book that I'll be taking. Now, because of this, the impact of medicine is also felt on the human behavior. See, within you, there are certain chemicals. You have your glands. You have certain chemical reactions happening from your brain right up to any part of the body. These chemical reactions, when they get upset, it affects your behavior. Okay. Now, when you are having a problem, your energy level goes down and your enthusiasm to do something also drops down. Unwell people feel not so motivated. If it's a day or two and your energy level is high, you can spring back to action. Your immunity starts getting affected because of that. So medicine has got a role to play, wherein the medicinal part of whatever you're taking has got an impact on behavior. I do not totally subscribe to this, but it's there to an extent, not much. There's something beyond that, which is again a lot of discussion to be done. But for the moment, just take it as it is.